Hello, it is the Little Mental Health Project, and it has been a long minute. Life got in the way. I am here today with Mwai. I don't know why I just
said your name. Hey, sorry, what did you say, Colina?
I just said I don't know why I had to say your name instead of just letting you introduce yourself, but go on,
it's okay. Go on. What I've noticed is you never actually say your name.
Oh.
Yeah. You don't even say your own name.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess I like your name better.
So go ahead. You do this.
My name's Colina Genesis.
Yes, Genesis. Hi, Genesis.
Hi.
And I'm Mwai.
Hi, Mwai. I think we're being weird. Okay.
Yeah, I think we're being weird. Okay, come on. Roll with
recap.
It.
Quick recap. Last week, not last week, because it's been more than last week. It's been a whole several weeks. The week that we recorded, we don't exactly remember which week it was because it's been so many weeks since we haven't been recording because life, education, work, it was just a lot. It's been hectic. But well, we're here today, that's all that matters. And we promise we're going to do better. So the last time we recorded, we were talking about mental health and motherhood, you know, and you generously came on to want to talk, to share your own, you know, story about how, you know, being a mother, being a single mother has been for you. Do you just want to quickly just, you know, tell us, remind us what we spoke about last time, because you were doing most of the talking. So can you just, you know, go through what we spoke about last time before we kick off and, like, you know, continue the conversation?
Yeah, sure. So last time we were basically talking about my experience as a new mom. I still call myself a new mom, even though my child is 18 months.
Yes,
yeah, oh, we're just talking about, yes, he is officially 1 year, 1.5 years.
Yes. I was like, oh my gosh, my, you're one of those mothers who said, oh my gosh, my child is like 48 months.
Yes, I am going to be that parent, okay? Because I count the months. But legit, it's an actual thing that we do. And I take so much pride in it. But speaking about the experience of being a new mother, and we spoke a little bit on my parenting style, but I think we'll touch on that a little bit more this episode. We spoke about I had mentioned actually during that episode that I had listened to a couple of podcasts in the early stages of my experience as a mother, and I had said that I would get back to people because I was only able to remember one. So I'd like to just get back to that, just, you know, because I said I would. I had mentioned that there was Woman Evolve podcast by Sarah Jakes Roberts. Then there's another one that is also really, really good. It's called the Motherkind podcast. That one is really, really good. If you're into, you know, really getting into your parenting style and your own personal attachment style and how it guides how you parent, and getting into the inner child, you know, that whole material and content, if you're into that, then this is an extremely good podcast. There's also the Single Mother Survival Guide. That's a great podcast as well, but that's one that's more a little new to me. And then also I'll just mention three, if you don't mind, Instagram accounts that are really good for mothers. There's one called Raising Yourself, that's really good. There's one called Conscious Parents. That's the handle, Conscious Parents. And there's one called Synergy Parenting. There are a whole lot more, but I find these are extremely good, especially if you're trying to parent in a certain way. So, you know, if you're trying to parent consciously, you know.
Yeah.
So those are ones that I would recommend. Then just to kind of finish on the recap, we had also spoken on some of the fears that I had through my experience as a mother.
So that's
basically a recap.
Thank you so much. And again, I cannot stress how amazing it is that, you know, you are sharing this and just, you know, like providing supports to all the mothers out there, be it single or not, to just, you know, just as a reminder to say, hey, you're not alone. You know, we're all doing this. We all get to struggle. We all get to experience, you know, things that are difficult. So I just wanted to say thank you so much. Like I truly, the podcast truly, I don't know why I'm saying the podcast, but the podcast is you and I collectively appreciate Mwai, who is sharing, you know, on being a single mother and just being a parent. So
that means a lot.
Yeah, I'm truly also humbled to be the one asking these questions. So yeah, this is going to be great. Yeah, so last time we'd stopped at, you know, I think before you'd I think we'd stopped at you sharing your parenting styles, but I think your parenting style, but I think we're going to like get into that a little later. Right now, I think what I am interested in is finding out what the relationship is like with the father of your child. Is he actively involved in raising your son, or he's okay, let me not go, or he's like I'm leading. I just want to find out a bit about that relationship and what that looks like for you.
Okay, so my child's father is not involved in the parenting relationship. Mm-hmm. We do not co-parent. It's such a crazy thing when, you know, when you're talking about your parenting experience. And I had gone into this thinking that I would be a co-parent. I thought that it was okay to not be with the father of my child.
Yeah.
But I genuinely thought that I would be doing this with somebody.
Yeah.
And initially, it was very painful. Mm-hmm. And I held a lot of resentment and a lot of bitterness. But then when I had to sit down and actually take a look and say, you know what, how I'm feeling the resentment and bitterness is doing myself a disservice and it's doing my child a disservice. Mm-hmm. I'm not able to properly parent my child because I'm holding on to so much. Yeah. And you know what they say about bitterness? It's like, let's say someone offers you like a cake and they're like, oh, there's just like 2% rat poison in there, you know, just have a, you know, just, it's okay, you can have some still, you know, you can have some of that cake still. Okay. It doesn't matter how much bitterness is within me. The fact that there's bitterness concerning that person, you know, concerning that situation was just bad. You know, recipe for disaster. So I really had to do some internal work. I did internal work by myself. That's when I started following all the podcasts and all the parenting stuff and really getting into myself, and as in like into my, you know, therapy for myself.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
my inner child, my inner wounds, my background. I returned to therapy because I'm a big fan of therapy, and obviously having been pregnant and then early stages of having a child, I had kind of stopped with therapy. But I went back into therapy, not regularly, but maybe like once a month, I would kind of say, for a bit, maybe for 3 months. And not to say that I was in crisis either. I don't think one needs to be in crisis in order to be in therapy or speaking to a therapist. It was just so that I could figure out how to deal with my emotions regarding not having his father involved. Yeah. And when I went deep into it, both through therapy and through my own internal work, I discovered that when I fell pregnant, I was not in a good place. You know, I had been drinking heavily. I was, this was like the period before my pregnancy. Yeah. You know, just life before my pregnancy, leading up to my pregnancy. Mm-hmm. You know, just for context, yes. this was my life. I had been drinking heavily. My self-esteem was at an all-time low. I had a very bad relationship with my family and my parents. I moved out of my parents' home mm-hmm. unceremoniously, as in, you know, kind of like without their blessing type of thing. You know, it was kind of just like, whatever, I'm leaving, because you know that sort of thing. Yeah. I was living in some place, a very nice flat, but it's like my life was not as it should be. I had previously been working with my family. I just left working with my family unceremoniously as well, started my own thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, nothing in my life, my mental health was terrible. Yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. And the decisions I made mm-hmm. as a result of that were terrible as well. Yeah. You know, so it wasn't even about, oh, I'm with a partner and we've thought this out. And no, it was not that sort of, it yeah. was not that sort of scenario. Mm-hmm. So I just want to give context. So when I look at that, and then, you know, then I fell pregnant, given, I hope you're taking all that in, given the context, then I fell pregnant.
Yes,
I shared that with my family. My parents were very receptive and very positive of it, and I thought, okay, this is gonna be something, you know. And this was somebody that I was in a relationship with him. He seemed appropriate. And whilst I'm saying this, I hope this is just my mind. You know, he was who was around at the time. You know what I'm saying? But it's not the sort of decision that I would have made, like now, for example. Now I would have asked certain questions like, okay, what's your parenting style? What's your background? Yeah. Are you emotionally ready for a child? Are you financially ready for a child? You know, those are the sort of questions I would ask now because of my mental state right now. Those were not even questions that I had at the time. You know, they weren't even in my mind. Yeah. So anyway, when I was doing all this internal work and stuff like that, I had to get to a stage and be like, you know what? I was fighting with myself, you yeah. know, and I'm fighting in this scenario. Mm-hmm. I wasn't managing my expectations.
Yeah.
I basically got how do I verbalize this without it sounding strange, but I'm just going to say it for what it is, because this is at the end of the day on my mental health, and I hope that it can be taken in the spirit in which it's intended. Yeah. But I didn't see responsibility at the time. So how could I expect responsibility now? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? I didn't see,
I'm snapping my fingers at that gym. Like, how do I
reach? Yeah.
Yeah. That's
really, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see the traits and the characteristics of what I wanted in the father of my child at the time. So why am I expecting it now?
Yeah.
You know, like it didn't make sense. So I had to dig deep into myself, like, no, okay. You know, these are things that are, these expectations are not, they're not realistic. Oh, you know,
sorry. When sorry. I start, sorry, my just 1 second, just really quickly. When you say that, when you say that thing that I really like about, like, I didn't see responsibility then, how do I expect responsibility now? I just wanted to like quickly point out that you and this person were like pretty much like you shared your background about how, you know, prior to your getting pregnant, your mental state was not exactly, you know, was not exactly mm-hmm. on point, but
yeah,
you were able to say, okay, I'm pregnant and mm-hmm. I need to do better. So, you know,
yeah,
you maybe weren't responsible before, but you recognized mm-hmm. that there was a life coming into, you know, and you
yes. need to start
taking yeah. responsibility.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. And I love the fact that you said that. I wasn't responsible either. And I think what happened, though, like during my pregnancy journey,
yeah.
Because obviously life had to change. So responsibility had to set in, you know, like plans had to start being made. Yeah. Items had to start being bought, you know, those sort of things. Mm-hmm. So that was me coming into my own, obviously, as a mother, pre-baby. Mm-hmm. So even during that stage, I also expected that.
Yes,
I expected that during the pregnancy journey. And not just expecting it, I was told that this is what I will do, and that didn't happen. Then, you know, I kind of thought, you know what, sometimes people wake up when they see the actual person in front of them. Yeah. So when the child was born, I thought, okay, you know, things will change, you know, responsibility and all of that will come into the picture. That didn't happen either. You know what I'm saying? So that in the first few months, there was a period of a lot of over-promising and under-delivering. And it was affecting me, and it was affecting the way in which I would parent and raise my child. So I made the decision to stop and cut communication, because it was affecting me and how I parent my child, like I said.
Yeah.
So once I made that decision and then started doing the internal work, both those hand in hand, and also not allowing myself to get sucked and dragged back in to, yeah. you know, that sort of cycle of, you know, failed promises being kept and all of that. Once I stopped all that and really just became assertive and put those boundaries in place, that's when I started to thrive as a mother.
Yeah.
Wow. So there've been attempts, obviously, there've been attempts, because, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, it's life. There've been attempts for Micah's father to try and see,
okay.
The child and get involved in the child's life. But I just, I put my foot down, because at the end of the day, what it will mean would be inconsistency within my child's life.
Yes.
So the boundaries are around me and they are around my child. And it is so that we don't expose ourselves to inconsistency and to, I'll say this again, to over-promising and under-delivering. I also want to say that it is not from a place of resentment anymore, because what I came to realize is that nobody would choose to not be involved in their child's life for nothing.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It is because they fail to do so. Mm-hmm. They are not equipped to do so.
They do not have the capacity.
Exactly. And that is not from a malicious place at all.
Yeah.
That is from that's from a place of compassion.
Yeah.
That took me years. Sorry, not even years. Micah's 18.
You can say 18 months.
18 months.
Yeah.
You know, he's 18 months. While yeah to get to that stage to realize yeah. that, you know what, it's actually okay. And I mean, it felt a little bad when I would, you know, maybe be talking with friends and they'd be talking about what their child's fathers would be doing for their child, and, you know, their child and children or whatever. It felt a little odd initially, and I had to actually separate myself from certain scenarios, because I said, this hurts, you know. Yeah. But then I had to realize, no, but you made that decision for your child to not have an inconsistent father.
Mm-hmm.
You made the decision to do it like that. You know, I have to talk myself through it sometimes, like, what you're doing is for the best.
Yeah.
You know, it's for the best of your child, for you know, for his own, just for his emotional development, so that he's not consistently let down or not exposed to someone that isn't equipped to handle life themselves, you know. I'm not saying that I'm totally equipped, but my what I'm trying to say is that I make efforts. I'm and proactive.
You're present. And you're present.
Yes. Yes, I'm present and I'm consistent. Yeah. You know. So that's what the relationship with my child's father is, and yeah, that is a very full answer for you.
Oh wow. First of all, wow, again, wow, to be able to like get to a place where you're not looking at someone who is supposed to be carrying the weight and the responsibility of raising a child with you and say, well, okay, these are the choices you've made. I'm going to draw my boundaries because I need to protect my child. One, I also need to protect myself because you can't be inconsistent. And like, I honestly don't think any parent wants an inconsistent child. So I just wanted to like say that comes from a place of like heavy healing, you know, because I know so many, not to draw comparisons and whatnot, but like I know so many situations where like people are comfortable, both let's say both mothers and fathers are like comfortable with, well, as long as they show up once in a while. I'm quickly learning that what that does to the child is, like you said, they kind of start to feel like, you know, oh, it's so I'm not worthy of this person, you know, showing up on a daily.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not worthy of this person, like, you know, doing right by me. And it makes them feel as though they are not enough. So to actually draw boundaries and say, until you're ready to be consistent, until you're ready to take up responsibility as a parent, you will not be a part-time parent. You know, you will not be a parent when you feel like you have to be
feel like. Exactly. Genesis, what you just said, I'm so sorry, I have to just like touch on that if you don't mind. Like, you really, really hit the nail on the head when you said that being an inconsistent parent, because parents are so in our children's eyes, we're literally like everything to them, you know, we're like gods to them.
Yeah.
I mean, for lack of a better word. So now if a parent is any parent's weaknesses or anything of the sort, a child will not take that as, oh, that's my parent's weaknesses. No, a child will think there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
And I would hate for that, for my child to start to carry those burdens and think that there's something wrong with him, to think that he is unworthy, to think that he's somehow defective because somebody is inconsistent while they're still healing on their own, you know.
That would
hurt me. At the same time, it clashes with the sort of parenting style that I want to, that I'm trying to adopt, which is a values-driven parenting style. You know, I'm trying to instill actual values in my child. I'm trying to work on conscious parenting. I'm not even thinking about like permissive parenting and passive parenting, because passive parenting is an actual thing.
Hold up. You are just throwing words at me. And I don't know what any of those words mean. I'm gonna need you to slow down and like slowly break down for me. But before you can do that, while you were talking about inconsistency and whatnot, I just wanted to quickly mention something that I came across. It has nothing to do with inconsistency, and it has a lot more to do with abuse, but I think it applies. It said
emotional abuse.
Just abuse as a whole. It can be emotional, physical. It said children who are abused by their parents don't hate their abuser. They hate themselves, you know?
Yeah.
They hate themselves. So that also like got me thinking about, you know, children who have inconsistent parents don't hate the inconsistent parent. They hate themselves. So I just wanted to like, you know, put that out there to say like,
exactly.
Yeah.
That is why it's so important to really really take care of your child. Yeah. You know, like, yes, you put those boundaries in place, girl. Mm-hmm.
No, boundaries are put in place to, you know, help people navigate your mental health, your physical health, in a way that is serving to you. So, yeah.
I have to put them in my role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear that. Now you can talk about your big words that you've been throwing at me, but I need you to break each and everyone down, because, girl, you were just...
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go into this, but I'll be brief because, I mean, we're trying to watch the time, right?
Yeah.
I'll be brief. I said it's important for me to put these boundaries in place. And like you said, to help him, my child, myself included, for mm-hmm. us to collectively navigate and just protect our mental health. So those boundaries are in place for that reason, and they're non-negotiable.
Yeah.
They're also important because not putting them in place would be a clash with the sort of parenting style that I'm trying to adopt, that I'm adopting. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a style that I'm learning. It's not one that came naturally to me. Mm-hmm. I've done research on it. I continue to do research on it, where I look at conscious parenting. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be the sort of parent that parents passively. Mm-hmm. We don't just let anything slide around here. Do you get what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
I'm intentional. I am proactive about my parenting style, mm-hmm. because I'm trying to raise an emotionally mature, obviously he's only 18 months, but these things start this young, because I want them to be so ingrained in him, mm-hmm. that it's second nature. It's not even something that he has to think about. Mm-hmm. And my parents did an extremely good job with me. Mm-hmm. That sounds weird, but what I'm trying to say is, mm-hmm. even though they parented the way they did, mm-hmm. there's still... I still want to do things differently, is my point.
Mm-hmm.
Completely differently. So my style is when I say that I've had to research and learn it, is because I'm not just taking what was passed down to me. Yeah. I do the research because I want my child to be a certain way. I want him to think in a certain way. I want him to look at himself as, this is who I am. I'm valuable all the time, no matter what I do. Just my being and my presence, yeah. you know, yeah. is everything here, you know, that sort of thing. I want him to always know that. I want him to know that he's valuable. So, you know, and so there's certain things that I have to do to shift the way that I've always, you know, kind of behaved and thought and acted, so that I can parent in that way to achieve those results. My parenting is not sort of like reactive. It's responsive, you know, like if my child is acting in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
Maybe ordinarily, if I'm not thinking, I may just snap, for example, but I have to now tell myself, okay, wait, he's acting in a certain way. What does that behavior mean? You know, let me think about what that behavior may be trying to communicate, because obviously behavior is communication. What is my child trying to say to me, especially now since he's not talking? What is he trying to say to me, so that I know that I'm definitely there for my child? I'm honoring whatever he's trying to share with me, his experience, whatever. I'm being there and I'm holding space for him, you know. Mm-hmm. Let me be present for him. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And not just like, hey, cut it out, you know, and just move on with my life. No.
Yeah.
I respond.
Mm-hmm.
Go no, on. I'm done.
Are you sure?
I'm done.
Okay.
Yes, I'm sure.
I just want to, I have a follow-up question with regards to not being a reactive parent, like you said. Okay, so like the days that you're tired, you had a long day at work, mm-hmm. someone pissed you off in traffic, you wanted mm-hmm. to buy something and you didn't mm-hmm. find it, or maybe you ordered mm-hmm. something and the person who delivered did not exactly deliver as to the standard mm-hmm. that you expected it. So you're pissed. You've had a really, really, really long day. And your child is, you know, being a child, mm-hmm. you know. So mm-hmm. let's say in that situation, you snap. How do you come back mm-hmm. from that?
Okay. What I try to tell myself is that, you know what? It's okay. Mm-hmm. This is something that we're trying to learn, mm-hmm. you know, because in that moment when that is happening, I have to hold space for myself. I yeah. have to extend myself compassion, because this is all heavy stuff that I'm learning as well for myself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like when he's, you know, like in that mode and whatever, then I start to think, okay, what does this behavior mean? Let me break it down. What is my inner child trying to tell me? I can't break it down like that. It's laborious, you know, like yeah. not all the time, like not all the time inner child things, but like, as in, I try, I hold space for myself and I say, okay, you know what? It's okay, because this is heavy work and it's not something that you're just going to like pick up and start to do. Nothing like that works and happens overnight.
Yeah. True,
so
true.
I hold space for myself. I say, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
We pick up and we try again.
Try,
you know, and yeah, and we try again, we pick up and we try to do differently next time. But it's important for me to really, really do that, because he I guess he also needs to see that. Like she's human, you know, she makes mistakes as well. And yeah. she comes back from it and does so gracefully, hopefully. I hope that's what one day he can see and say, you know, about the way in which I'm raising him.
I absolutely sorry, you were still talking.
No, I wasn't talking anymore, actually. That was my closing.
I absolutely love what you say, to say that to also just allow him to see you as a human being who's capable of making mistakes, because I think for the majority of the time, I think I grew up being made to believe that grown-ups don't make mistakes, you know, because they never really apologize. They'll do like really, really crappy things, and then, you know, oh well, you get over it. Yeah. I'm an adult.
Yeah, and the apologies just come through like, you know, actions. You're not actually going to hear sorry.
Like, use your voice, use your words. I need to feel that. Yeah, but like, I mean, well, I guess also parenting styles, like you said, you're not trying to be someone who just is passed on how to raise a child, because for the most part, I think most of our parents had also inherited parenting styles from, you know, their parents, who inherited those parenting styles from their parents. And like, not to say, oh gosh, you guys did like a really, really horrible job, but like, there was very little mental health awareness, you know, and there was very little awareness surrounding the emotions of the child, and like, you know, the names surrounding a child crying or a child being for lack of better words, difficult, was always attributed to, oh, they like to throw tantrums, or they're just problematic, you know, instead of like, you know, coming to a place where you want to understand where that behavior is coming from, or coming from a place where you want to understand what more could be happening, what else is going on to like, to like, you know, encourage this same behavior. So I absolutely love that, you know, this is what you're doing. I do not have a child, so I don't know why I'm like learning so much from you, and like, you know, learning so much about just being human, you know, as a parent, and like holding space for your child. I think the best gift we can give to those around us is like, you know, permit them. I mean, is by truly seeing them, and by seeing them, I mean like being able to hold space for them, like being able to like wait to listen to why they're behaving like that, trying to understand the behaviors surrounding or around certain emotions. So I absolutely applaud you as a mother. Like, look at you. Look at you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I had a question that I wanted to ask surrounding your parenting style, because you said you don't want to like just, you know, inherit your parents' parenting style. And I know that you live with your parents, and like your parents actively, you know, are actively involved in like, you know, the taking care and the raising of your child. What does that look like for you when like their parenting style sort of like, maybe is conflicting with your parenting style? What does that look like?
I'll just say this briefly. What I found is that as I'm evolving, I'm able to to notice that, okay, this kind of clashes with my style and my values, but I'm at a stage where I'm noticing it. Maybe because of his age, it's not really noticeable though. It's not like there's very many instances of it, but I haven't had to actually I haven't had to actually say anything yet, because it's not like it's that much of an issue at the moment. It's just more of like, okay, I've noticed this. I'm taking notice of it. I'm internalizing it. Maybe at some stage I'll have to set and put in place boundaries that, no, this is not how I'm trying to do this. Yeah. But at the same time, going through my head is also the fact that, okay, I'm noticing this. Am I safe to say this? Because obviously, you know, when you have a specific relationship with your parents, there may be things that you feel safe saying and things that you may not. So I'm still exploring that. But during that, I also think, okay, maybe I can just hold off on saying that because we're going to move out at some stage anyway. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's kind of like a, that's still something that's being explored, because I'm like, do I need to say it? I know that obviously I may need to say certain things at some stage, even regardless of whether we move out or not, or when we move out or not. But that will mostly be like, you know, just something that will come from my own, you know, healing and growth and how I navigate that relationship and communication with my parents.
I hear that.
I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, you did. I hear that. And like, it can't be easy, because I think our generation also was raised to not question, and, you know, to not, and like, it's very easy for like, you know, the older, the parents rather, to say, I raised you and, you know, you turned out all right. What do you think?
Without knowledge of the fact that they may have inflicted certain wounds.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And because this is something that is, that has been going on for like, since like the beginning of time, you know, the parenting styles that like people have carried, like, even up to now, you know, since they've been going on since the beginning of time, it's very difficult to actually find fault in something that has worked over time. But like, has it really worked, you know? Like, has it really worked? Because there's a majority of like so many broken people, and I talk to a lot of people who now say, yo, my parents did that was messed up, you know, yo, that wasn't supposed to happen, you know. There's a lot of that I hear, you know. And but like, when you ask, say, parents, for them it's like, what, no, I didn't do anything, my mother used to do that to me and I turned out fine. But like, well, they didn't turn out, the child is not going to turn out okay, because they recognize that that's not how they're supposed to be treated, you know, that's not how they're supposed to be spoken to. And your punishments maybe sometimes went a little too far. And then you also have to think along the lines that like, you still need to discipline a child, and like, it's a very hard balance. Yeah. So it's just interesting, you know, it's just interesting to hear and like, just hear and like, learn from, you know, the things that you're saying about like, you know, taking a step back and just trying to understand where their behavior is coming from. And the word is wow.
But I think it's important to also note that even though our parents and, you know, those before them may have taken on a certain style, parenting style, they did the best that they could with what they had.
Exactly.
You know, they really, really did, because with all of this, it's also like an evolution of mental health, you know, like it is an evolution in parenting styles. And I mean, obviously, you know, exposure helps and all of that, you know, to the fact that, you know, there's a different way to do things.
Yeah.
And I mean, God forbid that this way doesn't pan out. But like, the fact that I'm trying to do things differently, I also believe, and anyone else that is trying to do things differently, you're breaking cycles, you know. You are a generational breaker, and it is heavy work. You know, it's not something that we should dismiss or just take lightly. Yeah. Breaking a cycle of things are done. And when I say breaking a cycle, maybe it sounds as if there was heavy trauma previously. No, that's not to say that. It just means doing things differently. But doing things differently is hard work. It's laborious emotionally, and obviously psychologically, mentally, all of that. But I believe it's I don't know what to even call it. It's like amazing stuff.
Amazing stuff, but it's a lot of work. Like every good thing, it takes work, and especially work that has to do with change of mindset and change of, you know, routine and change of what you're used to, what you know as normal, to not become, you know, and there's, I'm learning every day that there's always a different way of doing things. There's always a different, better way of doing things, you know? So this is just really, really amazing to like learn from you and, you know, hear about your parenting style. That's something I hadn't heard before up until now. I just thought, you know, we just parent children, okay? Mm-hmm. They're no styles. I'm raising this child.
There ain't no style.
I'm raising this child, and that's all that matters. But like, I truly happy to learn from that. Maybe in the near future, when I have a child, I will come to you for some notes on your parenting style.
I will literally feel honored.
Oh, I could just let you raise my child since you have experience.
No. Nah. That cannot happen.
Like, since you have experience. And we've spoken about your child, we've spoken about everything, but we haven't spoken about you, your mental health. Where are you at mentally? Because I know, like, you're also a full-time working mother and you also run a business. How do you strike that balance to be able to actually make time for your child and like just be actively that's wrong, but like you know what I mean, like actively involved, like, you know, in like raising him without always feeling fatigued and like burnt out from all the other responsibilities that you have?
I would say my mental health is probably in the best space and place that it's ever been in.
I like to hear that.
I mean, I know just earlier today and yesterday I was telling you, oh my gosh, Genesis, I'm depleted, I'm finished. I was telling you all that, but the thing is, when I say that I'm in the best mental health space, mental space, it's because I'm aware. You know, I'm aware of what's going on right now. I can track myself now and be like, okay, this is how I'm feeling. What do I need? I'm able to now say, okay, I need to check in with myself physically, emotionally, all of that. So I'll periodically do those check-ins where it's like, okay, have I rested enough? Okay, I know I haven't rested enough, so I probably shouldn't do this. You know, have I eaten? Okay, I'm probably feeling this way because I haven't eaten, you know, in however many hours, or maybe I need to hydrate, you know, those sort of things. So I'm learning to check in with myself mentally, emotionally, physically. Let me just say, I'm learning to check in with myself holistically. And this is something that I've had to learn, and I am still learning. So that's to answer your question on how I am doing mentally. I mean, I've got the different areas of my life, and because I'm able to check in with myself, it helps me to keep some sort of balance, you know. And then obviously, like we have said, you know, doing this sort of parenting style and implementing this intentional sort of living, you know, parenting living, etc. It's laborious, but because I make it so inclusive and ingrained within my day-to-day living, it's starting to feel less like a chore. So on a daily basis, I mean, like the social media accounts that I follow now are all parenting sort of stuff, you know. They're all mental health stuff. Obviously I'll follow the other things that I like fashion and you know, travel, but I'll follow these other things so that I see them on a regular basis, so that I internalize them as I go about my day, so that it doesn't feel so heavy when I come face to face or come across information that sort of information. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's because it's being, you know, like internalized, it doesn't feel so heavy. So I'm trying to make my life and lifestyle in such a way that this is all normal here. You know, we normalize this here. So that's how I manage and keep the balance.
Oh, nice. I really like that. I like that. And I especially like the fact that you're aware and you're able to check in. I think most of mental health, I think the bulk of the problem with people's mental health challenges is not being able to be aware, not being able to, like, you know, check in, you know, different facets of your life, you know, four sets of your life rather. So I absolutely love that you're able to check in. And I also love the fact that you said, even though you can say I'm feeling depleted, your mental health can still be at peak, you know, in a really good place, because you say, okay, I'm depleted. I'm probably depleted because I'm putting too much pressure on myself. Maybe let me take a step back, you know, or like I'm depleted because, like, I need to finish this and it's stressing me because I haven't finished it. How much am I going to rest after I'm done finishing this? And how much more am I going to take on, or how much more am I not going to take on based off the fact that this completely depleted me? So I absolutely, absolutely love that. Tonight has been, we recorded tonight, by the way, not at the crack of dawn. I don't think we've done the crack of dawn.
I have not been with you on the crack of dawn recordings.
We should totally try the crack of dawn. It's so quiet. It's amazing. And the ideas just flow.
Really?
Yeah, we should definitely. Oh, I could just call you at the crack of dawn.
Girl, I won't even answer.
I know.
I said there shall be no hello caller if you're calling me at the crack of dawn.
Are we not friends?
No. Do that.
Hey, this has been interesting, informative, and thank you again for saying you are going to raise my child because you have experience, and we should wrap up because we do not have a lot of time. and everybody heard me say it, so you can't take it back here.
Yeah, I'm just like, okay.
You can't take it back.
No. We'll just rewind this podcast, because I did say, girl, you are going to raise your child first time, but I'll be right there with you. But you're raising that child.
Okay. I see your life. I see your life. Guys, this has been amazing. Hopefully next time we don't take forever to come back and just record, because we absolutely enjoy doing this and we're extremely passionate about, you know, this project. And it's been an amazing podcast, this one. I thoroughly enjoyed it. What do you think?
It's been absolutely amazing. I've enjoyed talking about my experience, and I just want to say once again, I hope that for the listeners, they can take it all in the spirit in which it's been intended. Nothing malicious here, that just sharing my experience and just, and, you know, obviously whilst doing this, if I'm not doing it as well as I should be, like in terms of sharing my experience, this is obviously you know, the opportunity for me to learn how to navigate that better and how to navigate it more gracefully.
So
thank you again for the opportunity, and to you, Genesis, for being the most amazing person to talk to about all of this.
Wow, you're still gonna raise my child though. Jokes. We're quickly gonna wrap up. Let me also just quickly throw out a disclaimer. We are not mental health professionals. We are just people meeting in companionship. Yeah, that's it. That's the one, right? Yeah, we're just
we're meeting in companionship.
We're just two passionate women who are like extremely passionate about wellness and like, you know, well-being. And we also just like, how do I say, and someone who has, who have like, you know, struggled severely with like their mental health, we're just here to, you know, remind you that like it gets easier, one, and there's always someone who is almost going through the same situation as you. It could not be the same, you could not be feeling the same things, but it could be something that, you know, you can like learn from or relate or like, you know, make you feel less alone. So yeah, I think for me, I'm done talking, like, because I could go on.
I love that. Thank you for saying that. Thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, from us, it is until next time. Enjoy.
Okay, bye. Until next time.
Bye, guys.